maybe 20, 15 or 20 minutes left. I don't know what's going on, but as soon as you, once I'm up there, I can't finish. I can't really.
Thank you. Didn't get the kind of education that they used to do the things they want to do. It's incredible to hear them say this.
And when, you know, you know how stark they were when they were in Yeshiva Tana.
Yeah, and Mirz Hashem, the system will change.
My kids, you know, it's
we want the Haramayas.
Yeah.
You know, Yosef goes.
Yeah.
And I go, Danny Bahar. Danny Bahar's once a month.
I know that.
And the first time I went, I'm standing there, somebody says, Doug, what are you doing here? I turn around, it's Danny Bahar. Hashem sent him, show me. It's just incredible, Rabbi Reynolds. You can't imagine.
Yeah, you know, I don't go, but it must be a very special feeling, powerful feeling.
It's like, I went once, and I'm still thinking about it, which is amazing, because when you go through Yom Kippur, I did Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur at the Chor.
Yeah.
Good to get that on.
I just want to get the time.
And so I have a sense of, you know, a different viewpoint. And so the question becomes, that we watched, how do we deal? It's more this issue of a transcendental sense of where we were within our Judaism, and what the Kohen Gadol's role was, and how we functioned, how we interacted with Israel. And it's beyond spiritual. And the Arabs make it miserable, but it's beyond spiritual. It's just, I feel so important that we have to claim. This is our language.
The Chorva, you have to reserve, or you just show up?
No. If you ever want to go to the Chorva, I can reserve for you. I had reserved for Russia.
You have to reserve. You can't just.
For Russia, I'm going for you. But the Zilbermans are good. They have a good relationship. The Rav Erbil is still. It's quite a different experience because, you know, they have one person who says the dominant is Shliach Tzibur. Everything, but there's certain things they say they dispute in between chapters, and it's a little shorter. I'm not going to seek it. I'm not going to seek it for 10 years.
Right. Even Rosh Hashanah.
Even Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur. So it's part of that continuous experience. Rosh Hashanah was short. Yom Kippur was a little shorter, but it wasn't.
So there's a big break in Yom Kippur.
Yom Kippur, there was a big break. They learned.
I know they're not bad ones.
Yeah, they learn a long time.
Yeah.
So it's good. How are things? There were some ants. Good. All right, well, we've been running.
It's good to see you, and hopefully we'll get together.
It's wonderful.
Good to see you.
All right, good. We'll have better news.
Amen.
Tzadik Geizer of HaKadosh Baruch Hu Mekayim, the one thing that our beloved Sarah never wanted was she never wanted kavod, she never wanted a fuss made over her. So she leaves the world at a time when people are getting ready for Yom Kippur, and she's buried on an Erev Shabbos where we're not supposed to be Marech, be Hespedim. But she didn't get everything she wanted. Look how many people are here, how many people came. Many people didn't even have a regular car and had to fool around and arrange for transportation. Because in spite of the fact that she so much did not want to be shown honor and respect and publicity, but some people are so great that even when they want to be a nister, they cannot totally be hidden. There's a medrash, the pasuk says, Ish echad me'alef matzasi, Shlomo HaMelech says, I found one man out of a thousand. Ve'isha b'chol eilo lo matzasi. But in that thousand, I couldn't find a woman that special. And the Midrash tells us, the one man out of a thousand is Avraham Avinu. Again, I assume in a literal sense, it would be a million, whatever it is. Avraham Avinu was unique, one out of a thousand. But the greatness of Sarah was so great that even in a thousand you couldn't find the Sarah. Isha b'cholei lo matzasi, you'd have to have, keep on going and going and going. I know, hearing some of the Hespedim in Woodside, I know that the pasuk was said again and again and again, v'yavei Avraham lisbad l'sarah v'l'chaisa, that Avraham has come to eulogize Sarah and to cry over her. And this pasuk is even more true here, because Avraham Avinu comes to Eretz Yisrael, he buys a kever for his beloved Sarah. Avraham, our friend Avraham, not only bought the kever for Sarah, but indeed bought the kever and arranged all of the kfarim for many of our members, our beloved friends in Woodside that are buried near here. So he's come to do this final duty for her. And I think it was also remarked, the Nisiv points out, that Lipchosa and Lispod are two different things. Bechia is the spontaneous emotional sense of loss. But Lispod is when you cry not merely because of the loss, but you cry because of the specialness and the qualities and the uniqueness that that person brought to the world. It involves reflection, it involves thought, it involves recognizing the halal, the emptiness, the void that has been created, and it creates the responsibility that we have to move forward to some degree, fill the halal, the vacuum that was created. Everyone knows that both Avraham and Sarah are the pillars, are the founders of the Kehillah in Woodside, Abbas Torah, first in Summit Hill. Rabbis like myself may come and go, but the Landesmans were the enduring pillars. And they set a tone. If one were to identify the positive, unique qualities of the Woodside Kehillah, where I was privileged to be for almost 25 years, and one sees the selflessness, the dedication, the volunteerism, the spirit of taking responsibility, of not waiting for other people to do things, but identifying the needs, the friendliness, the warmth. The Kehillah existed that way because it attracted a certain type of people, but it attracted a certain type of people because the Kehillah was that way. There was kind of a circular process that was going on. And where did that circle start? You have a chicken and an egg conundrum. But the answer is, there is no question. It started with the Landesmans and the Kiddush Room in Summit Hill, in which that atmosphere was created, and they created it, and they nurtured it, and they fostered it, and they strengthened it. And then more and more people came, and they became that way themselves, and they were able to pass it on. And it's all because of this couple in particular. Sarah's role behind the scenes. She was a quiet person. She was a modest person. She was a shy person. But when things needed to be done and they had to be done, she was there. She was there in times of happiness. She was there in times of suffering. She was there when the work that needed to be done was undramatic. It was mundane, it was time-consuming. It was something that could easily have been delegated to people who didn't have so many other things on their plate. But this wasn't even so much of a conscious decision. It wasn't like a person says, well, I'm an important person, but I'm going to do it. It just wasn't in her mindset. It had to be done. It was done. So everything good about Woodside, I will openly lay at the feet of the Landesmans, and particularly Sarah. But you know, that would have been enough for the average person, maybe. Great, great accomplishment to build a Kehila in Am Yisrael. But that was only a small part. Talk about the transformation of Silver Spring and the greater Washington area to a makom of Torah, a makom that is zocheh to have really a world-class Talmid Chacham, Rav Aaron Lapiansky, running a yeshiva, not only a Talmid Chacham, but a Baal Machshava and a Baal Eitzah. And in that creation of the, number one, first the yeshiva of Washington, the high elementary and high school division, and then more than 20 years ago, the yeshiva Gedola, and later the Kola. Sarah's role is literally unbelievable. She was already not a young woman. She was already not a healthy person. But literally, she became the mother or the grandmother of generations of Talmidim, being sure that there was food that was good for them to eat, cleaning the linens, preparing the dormitory rooms. Hundreds and hundreds of people that she took care of, caring about them, being Marbitz Torah, and really all of the Torah that was able to be learned and able to be taught was because there was someone like her behind the scenes without recognition, just to make sure that all of their physical needs were met. And there were so many other things. One of the things I think we could say about Sarah is that indeed, whatever we say is miktsas, because she was private, because she was modest, because she was sanua, there was only a tip of the iceberg that really any of us beyond the immediate family know, and probably the immediate family doesn't know everything either. I just remember, you know, Chazal say that the Ayol of Sarah had three great miracles, and these miracles left when Sarah Imenu died, and they came back when Rivka was brought as a little child into the Ayol. Chazal identified these three miracles, that there was a Ner Dolok, her Shabbos candle burnt, Me'erev Shabbos, Le'erev Shabbos, there was always light in the house. There was a blessing in her Isa, a blessing in her dough, you ate your bread, you walked away satisfied. And there was a cloud of glory symbolizing the Shechina. And indeed, in the Silver Spring tents of Avram and Sarah, all three of these simanim existed. A ner is a symbol of both warmth and light. The warmth, the hospitality, the notion of feeling comfortable, being able to be yourself, walking into a relaxed, perhaps frantic home sometimes because so many things were going on, but a sense of serenity, a sense of peace, a sense of being welcome. This was the warmth. The light was both the light of Torah learning, but also the light of practical wisdom and experience. Again, Sarah was a very, very wise person. She had a lot of experience in life. She knew how to take things in perspective. And she was a balas eitzer in her own way. I remember, I'm not sure if this is even characteristic, but I remember one particular expression that hit me. That is, somebody was telling a story or taking a position on something that was clearly wrong. But instead of correcting, Sarah said something like, oh, is that the way you remember it? As if to say, why don't you think about it again just to be sure? It was a certain kind of a kind way of correcting somebody without insulting them, without making them feel bad. Again, I don't know if that particular expression was characteristic. But that was her personality generally, to kind of advised by indirection and by tact and in an indirect way, in a way that doesn't hurt people, that doesn't deflate them. Her suffering was great, and if I could quote in a holy place something that Mel Brooks once said, please forgive me. Mel Brooks was once asked about the difference between comedy and tragedy. And he said, comedy is when you break your leg, and tragedy is when I stub my toe. Meaning the nature of the human being is, when it happens to me, no matter how big it is, no matter how small it is, it's a big deal. When it happens to somebody else, it's a clinotype, I can laugh. Well, I have to say that Sarah, I think, is a bar palupta of Mel Brooks. Because with Sarah, it was exactly the opposite. She suffered a lot, but it was never a big deal. It didn't stop her from going to Sipras. It didn't stop her from being in the Kiddush of Rosh Hashanah in her house. It didn't stop her from caring about others and making phone calls about others and being Menachem Avel, being Mishtatif in both Sipras and in Tsar. It didn't stop her. It wasn't a big deal. What happened to her, she took in stride. What happened to you? That was a big deal. She lost sleep over that. That she called up. She was Dorish Mechoker. What could be done? How can you help people? She took the tzoros of every other person. And that became the big thing that she was focused on. Her own tzoros? No. Kadosh Baruch Hu gives you what you can take. And once again, that's a tremendous, tremendous mussar that we can learn from. We're far too often, unfortunately, perhaps we live in the Mel Brooks paradigm instead of the Sarah Landisman paradigm. And we are very much spiritually impoverished because of it. On a personal note, I just have to say that when my mother, Allah HaShalom, moved to Silver Spring a few years after my father, Allah HaShalom, died, and although she was a gregarious person who had many, many friends, but she really didn't know how to live life by herself. She had been, as many European spouses were, very, very dependent on her husband. And she came to a new place, a new makom. She knew very few people. And Sarah Landisman was perhaps the very first person that befriended her. And in a way, it was very, very significant because it was almost the first friend that she had that did not arise out of a relationship with my father, meaning to say, this was a friend to this one-to-one basis. And I think their mutual friendship was very precious to both of them. My mother would always talk about the Erev Shabbos phone call, and if Sarah did not call Erev Shabbos, you know, my mother was concerned, and she would call to be sure nothing was wrong. But the reason I bring this up is not so much to be autobiographical, but I think Sarah also taught us how to be a friend. She did not view friendship as a charity case, as the higher person looking down to the lower person out of a sense of noblesse oblige. In her friendship, there was respect. There was validation. There was a notion that each person gives to the other, and she communicated to my mother as she communicated to the hundreds, if not thousands, of friends that she had. That you are a valuable person. You have what to offer to the world. You have a reason to continue to live. And I can say that in the case of my mother, Allah Shalom, that gave her much hope and much strength and made her last years very, very good and strong years. So again, I want to give Sarah my own personal gratitude for what she did for my family, and I know that almost probably anyone here might have a very, very similar story. The Nifteres was not Socha to have a final Yom Kippur. Reminds me somewhat of the Brisker Rav, who was Nifter, the Brisker Rav was Nifter after Kol Nidre, but also at the very, very beginning of Yom Kippur. But in some ways, she did have what Yom Kippur actually represents. Number one, Misa Sadikim is a kapara. But number two, if you remember the beautiful Haftorah of Yom Kippur, the passage from the Navi Yeshayahu, where the Jewish people come to God and they complain, Lama Samnu, why have we fasted? And you have not listened to us. And the Navi says, B'Shem Hashem. The Navi says, B'Shem Hashem. That, what do I want in a fast? Do I want you to simply bend your heads and clap al chait? The Navi says, what I want in a fast is to break the yoke of the poor and the oppressed and the troubled. To give your bread to the hungry. To bring the poor, and one could say this is both the poor in money and the poor in spirit, into your house. When you see the naked one, you cover them up. And from those that are your flesh and your comrades, you do not conceal yourself. And this is the fast that HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants. And this is the Yom Kippur through which Sarah Ladisman left the world. May her memory be a great, great blessing. We will miss her tremendously. But I know that Avram will continue to do all that he's always done for the Kehillah and for Washington. We wish him strength and chizuk from all of the memories. And I know that his wonderful children will also continue in their mother's ways. And in many ways, from the Shemayim, she could even be a more powerful. May Lisa Yashir Tizikur Baruch, Hila Hamavas Lenesach, Umacha Shemel Kimdimma Be'achokhan. We'll now hear some words of Hesped from Rabbi Sal.
It was more than that. And this is what it means most of all. she'd sit there, every single person that she sat down with, she sat there every night for an hour, someone should fall asleep and wake up and have to continue. So until the end, until maybe a week and a half ago, maybe a week ago, I don't know, you've been out. But she'd not just sit there and wait for an hour, but she said a different kayak for this person, that person, we still don't know the cousin. Maybe we'll never know. Maybe we'll look in the film, I don't know. But one of the things that was very impressive is that we get a phone call. And she'd be like, how's Kanadas Dali today? Remember, who's Kanadas Dali? No, you remember, you told me about 2 years ago that Kanadas Dali. How's she doing? I just want to know that she's closing to Ellen, and she's been better, and she's better. Never got around to it. Maybe she's doing well already, she's doing well, she's doing well. Can you tell me? It's like, I'm giving her other names because every single time I have to remember who the name was. But anyway, How many people have on their refrigerator pictures of the grandchildren of her friends? Her refrigerator is filled with the pictures of other people's grandchildren. And she loves other people's grandchildren like her own. I'll never forget a story of a person who was part of the story happened to us here. But it was not uncommon. It was not uncommon that I would come home and she would have been so much thing for her. Well, it was not uncommon that I would be asked by my mother to go and deliver something here and there and other things. One time she told me to deliver some cookies to somebody's house, one of her friends. So I brought the cookies over to the house and she started shaking her head. I can't believe it. I'm like, what? She's like, she's sending cookies for Shalom Zaka, it's in another city. That's how much she was cool thinking about other people her whole life. Just a few months ago, when she was told she was already very, very sick, and she had every excuse to just sit around and not to do anything. Somebody needed a minion for a shiva minion, rather. And nobody, and everybody was scared of the minion and shiva shach. It was, nobody really wanted to think of Kaya shiva for the minion. And my mother took that guy, was sitting, she was already very sick. And she said she made so many phone calls, but not that they didn't have a minion and shiva. There's a Mishnah in Dergelos, and it all has to do with these words, because I think that the time of the Mishnah, when he said these words, he had a mother in mind. So it's Shalish Shalach, the Shalach Shalach, Chasim. It's possible that he had him, I wouldn't be surprised if he saw already, that's the good word, Shalish Shalach, the Shalach Shalach, Chasim. I'll tell you one story. There's a the yeshiva, she was the aim of values of the yeshiva. I know that's what she was. Anybody who's in yeshiva knows what I'm talking about. But she was like the aim of values. And so one year for the Chanukah yeshiva, she made all the lacquers. It was like, let's say 40 lacquers, whatever, 40 guys. So she made 100, 200 lacquers. It was an Arab Shabbos. And as was normal in her house, everybody, all the neighbors and all the friends come to taste what the aim was making. Very normal. I always say my friends are more comfortable than I want to lose their hands. Anyway, she's making all the lacquers for Sunday night with their Shabbos. And this guy said, it wasn't the book, still everybody took, you know, a couple of two, three. Everybody took. At the end of the time, we looked at the lacquers and there wasn't that many lacquers left. And she said, oh, Baruch Hashem, we'll just make more Mitzvah Shabbos. I think most people would have put a four max around the lacquers. But she was the opposite. There's nothing. Everything was for everybody. Same that from the brisket, the carry, and that's how the house was. There's not much until that. It says that I saw somewhere, I couldn't find it, but it says that the world is held up by those who sit there for other people. It's a taka, who's going to hold up the world? As far as we got a couple more, you know, it says, my mother was Makali Sur Meyavla. It says, I saw a book, there's a new book that came out, Living in the Room. One of the things it says is that Eov lived in the capital of Sur Meyavla. He would say, okay, Abraham, okay, Yitzhak, okay, Yaakov, okay, Eov. I don't know anybody who is Makali Sur like my mother. There is never a time that anybody ever heard a complaint about her mother, ever. If anybody has, you can tell them, I never heard. I recall it, this was a thing that always happened. I recall the house now in the last Kufa, which was very sick. come and say, okay, Sunday, I come, how's he been doing? Fine. I come the next day, how's he been doing? Yesterday was terrible, but today should be much better. And then I go the next day, I say, how's he been doing? Oh, much better than yesterday. Oh, that's much better than 2 days ago. Much better. But see, they never, ever say, I'm not doing much. They never say words. And I'm sure she can speak right now. She'll tell everybody here, everything's going to be fine. There's another happy thing I got there. A couple more things. It says, where Emuna was legendary. I told her her grandchildren, if her grandchild would do anything that had to do with Avodas Hashem, she would tell the whole world, oh, Hashem is sad, the whole Yom Kippur in the show, and she was only 10 or 11 years old, she was so happy, it gave her so much happiness. This one did so well, anything, even not in Kodesh, she loved her children, she loved her grandchildren, she was so good to them, and of course, grandchildren means extended grandchildren too. She'd go to a doctor and she'd hear a report of a bad report. She would always somehow turn the report into something positive. Oh, the blood, the platelets went up. And then recently she heard a bad report and she turned to my father. She said, Hashem is taking care of us until now. My mother defied all prognosis. The doctors gave up on her many, many years ago. She was way beyond the tablet. I want to share one thing that I think is a secret to her success. I think the brother has touched on it. And I think that this Nakuda, I think a lot of things come out of it, which is that when some people do chesed, they feel that the person in need, they know that they use the word nevach, but there's a person in need, and I have to do chesed for that person. I'm doing the chesed for that person. It's not how my mother looked at the world. She looked at every single person as somebody who has greatness inside of them, and they don't always have the ability to tap into their greatness right now. She would call many alumnus every other Shabbos, and she told me, I'm not calling them because they need to call them. They have a greatness inside of them. And if I call them, maybe together we can bring out, she would say these words, but I'm saying how I touch you. But she understood that there's a greatness inside these people. And that maybe they're feeling down right now, and maybe I can help them tap into it. But we're both in a game. The word Nebuch is not in Mexico. It didn't exist. I never heard it, and she never looked up. There's nothing to beneath her. She would clean the apartments, but her daughter, the fiancé, was asked if she could find somebody to clean the apartment that I face up, because that's what we have, And he came to the house, and my mother was scrubbing the floors. She's like, oh, that's what I meant. Another thing that I have to be honest, maybe one today. You always have high expectations of your children, even though you always let us do whatever you wanted. You have certain expectations, not expectations in life, I want you to do this, but you have high expectations of yourself, and therefore you have expectations of us. And I didn't always appreciate it, and I asked the people to not appreciate me. I don't have a lot of things to ask the people for him, but we have a very close relationship and we love each other very much. I never really asked you before for some of the trip. I've personally been asking the people again for some of the other things. And I have to ask the people if I didn't live up to the expectations. And I know that there is a shame in which I, we all will. But just before I end, I just want to thank my father who was. I think it's connected, but it works. My father took care of my mother. But even before that, they made a home that was a dugma. There's so many people here, and this is the third Mass of Levite. And there were so many people. They made it, their house was a dugma. After Yom Kippur and everybody, but the house became like, I don't know how many people I called, they couldn't hear anybody. They asked me, was anybody there? They talked for a second, everybody was there. Everybody felt that was the right place for them to get down. Everybody looked up to my parents, built a home that is a dugma. And I appreciate that, and I also appreciate everything you did for Ima, always in the last group. And the Lord also is amazing. I have such a courage to talk to you. And my other siblings did so much more than I did. And to the friends in the Shire. I just want to finish with one idea that that we have, instead of joking on the house, we'll be talking to you about something. And so in the kitchen, we're making Shabbos, and the phone would ring, and you say, and you answer the phone, and so and so, and you, oh, how do you know I was just thinking about you? And you'd be like, oh, that's good, thinking about it, you're talking about something else. But you think, after this aspect, I think it's pretty obvious that this is a person, you know, you're a person who was always thinking about everybody. And when he said, I was just thinking about you, it was true. And it's also true to
now hear from Leah Israel, the very beloved friend.
I ask to speak by virtue of knowing my friend, except the Sarah sister brother. I am one of possibly a handful who met her in our early teens in Beishapo, Williamsburg, when we were done with the Egypt, the Greggs, and Katya, and on the Sandra. I feel pleasant about Lady Anna's reception here today. She knew Sarah even longer from Shanghai. When I left over the spring before the summer, I told my kids I was going to write my own eulogy be read at my funeral, so when the time came, I would not make liars out of my children. I did not think my ill-devised joke would instead be my writing a eulogy for an irreplaceable friend. And as Donnie Franco said, Sarah is irreplaceable. Some people live and die. The sun rises and then sets on their lives. And except for their immediate family, they soon are forgotten. This is the way of the world, but not for Sarah. As testimonial to Sarah by all those present here, we all know what an unusual person she was. She was the most hospitable hostess. Sarah and Avram's tent, as our forefathers, had their flaps open all the time, pulling in people to stay with them. Sarah was physically small, but always maintained a powerful presence. She was preferred by all of us, evidenced by her popularity. Her house was always full, her phone was always ringing. Sarah was an in-your-face friend, favored by all. She was opinionated, but never judgmental in her friendships. On May 21st, 1964, I walked into their apartment in Summit Hill. I was wearing a sleeveless blouse and shorts, but that very day I was accepted as her friend until today. Neil, my husband, bonded with 2.5-year-old Uri immediately. They became friends, and any friend of Uri's was special in Sarah's heart. I think of some of Sarah's very best friends who do not cover their hair, and it was never an issue to their friendships, as it might be today in the polarized climate we live in. But not in Sarah's world. She accepted all with equality and equanimity that many can learn from her the way she lived her life. Some people are remembered because they were excellent cooks and always had delicious food ready in their home or freezer to be whipped down and served. Others are known for their wit and humor, and still others because of their intellectual prowess. Sarah will forever be in our thoughts as a great friend. She loved people, and people loved her. Her repertoire of friends numbered in the thousands. No one can claim such a vast personal address book. Sarah was a woman of great faith. She was a very religious person, and even up to the end of her life, weak and faced with the inevitable, she never faltered in services to God. She never changed her mode of living. She welcomed all her friends to come sit with her. She kissed every baby, running nose or not, and had an interest in all our lives without letting us feel she was burdened with the illness that robbed us of her. When I said goodbye a few weeks ago, I felt I would not see Sarah again. And when she grabbed me tight and held me extra long, I knew that she knew too. Then, to our list of personalizing this remarkable lady, should be added the word bravery, bravery with a bold capital B. There are no separations, no machitza in heaven, Sarah. And so our best friend Neil will be here to greet you. You are special and loved here on earth. The next world will be waiting for your beautiful neshama to come home.
Derek, the Zion Bethany, the Dominant of the Jewish people, the Mother.